before I call the next case, are you aware of opposing counsel? Have you run across opposing counsel this morning?
I have not seen counsel, Your Honor, and no brief was filed.
Okay. Oh, you're correct. I'm sorry. Waiting for no reason, then. I will call the next case. Apologies. You are absolutely correct. The next matter on for oral argument this morning is Skyberg versus Orlich. Counsel, you will have 15 minutes to present your argument. Please state your name as you commence your argument. We ordinarily would give you 5 minutes of rebuttal, and I guess we'll extend that time to you if you'd like to rebut your opening argument. Otherwise, you're only going to get 15.
I hope that I don't contradict myself that
much,
Your
Honor. All right, we only get 15 minutes then. The timing restrictions are indicated in the podium, and you have the floor. Please commence by stating your name and which party you represent.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Sean Ranke. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Danielle Orlich, who's also present in the courtroom today. We are asking the court to reverse the district court's various contempt orders issued in this file, beginning with the order entered on November 14th, and then extending through the orders issued starting in October 2nd, 2023, culminating in Ms. Orlich's arrest. I will review the issues of subject matter jurisdiction, contempt procedure, and the propriety of the purge conditions to show this court that the district court acted without proper jurisdiction, exceeded its authority, and it clearly erred, or abused its discretion, excuse me. I'd also like to remind the court before I begin that at the time this SAT matter came for an evidentiary hearing on the issue of father's parenting time was suspended by an Iowa court order, and that once that case resolved through a transfer of jurisdiction to Minnesota, father voluntarily chose not to exercise his parenting time. So it all matters relevant to this contempt issue of father's parenting time. That time was either suspended or he was choosing not to exercise it. Yet Ms. Orlich was still arrested on October 2nd, 2023 because of the contempt relating to parenting time.
And the order you're talking about is a September 23rd, 2022 temporary protective order that the Iowa court issued the same day that the request had been filed?
That's correct, Your Honor. And that order was filed, and that brings me to my first argument regarding subject matter jurisdiction, which is that order was issued in Iowa under Iowa's version of the UCCJEA, found here in Chapter 518D, specifically 518D-204, and Iowa codes match and mirror what we have here in Minnesota, that emergency jurisdiction, the court can make an order on a temporary basis to address an emergency that arises in that state, even where another state might have continuing and exclusive jurisdiction over the family. Here in Minnesota, this case properly venued on all non-emergent matters in Minnesota. We have subject matter jurisdiction. This court found that in the first Skyberg appeal. But Iowa established emergency jurisdiction when that TPO, akin to an OFP or an order for protection, was filed. When that matter was filed, jurisdiction transferred to Iowa on a temporary basis. And it stayed there until such time as the courts, Minnesota and Iowa, could communicate and figure out what is the plan for this case? How do we handle it? Who's going to take it going forward? Who is going to address this emergency now on the merits? We had an ex parte order issued. Who's going to take it? How do we get it back to Minnesota? Or is Minnesota going to send it to Iowa?
The UCC. Yeah, so counsel, I have a number of questions along those lines. So we have that September 23rd order. Under the UCCJEA, the courts are then required to communicate with each other. And in the prior SENA matter, the record, I think, is pretty clear that the courts did communicate with each other. Ultimately, the Iowa court agreed to dismiss the SENA action, and then father filed an action in Minnesota. Shortly after that, the Iowa District Court, issued the TPO. Okay. And the record indicates that the courts did communicate at that point. But from there, it seems to be unclear as to whether a definitive determination had been made as to which court had subject matter jurisdiction at that time, unlike the earlier SENA proceeding. Is that correct?
I would agree with that, Your Honor. Okay. Yes. So with that SENA proceeding, the district court in Iowa made a determination sending it back to Minnesota. The guardian ad litem in that case petitioned the court to extend it. The court ultimately denied that. But that was the guardian, not Ms. Orledge. Here, I'm not entirely clear from the records that I have, and I wasn't counsel at the time. My client had an attorney in between, so I'm not sure if it's a file transfer issue or what happened. But review of that October transcript from October 2022 shows this district court trying to communicate with Iowa and not necessarily getting a response. The district court notes on the first day of the hearing that they had communicated and not gotten a response. Same thing on the second day. And then I don't see anything in the transcript about when they came back on the 26th of October, whether Iowa had responded or not.
But is your argument that on September 23rd, the Iowa District Court implicitly is stating we are exercising subject matter jurisdiction on a temporary emergency basis at this point?
That is exactly our argument, okay. Yes, Your Honor.
Because after that, then the Minnesota District Court proceeds with several hearings in October, three hearings in mid-October, then issues an opinion on November 14th. Right after that, I think it was 3 days later, the Iowa District Court issues an order specifically on jurisdiction.
Yes.
And that order says we have jurisdiction, we have the authority under our version of the UCCJEA, and here are the steps that we need to take. It has to be temporary. This is only good for 30 days. But in your arguments, in your briefing, you seem to rely on the Minnesota statute. Isn't really your, am I understanding your argument really is that the Iowa District Court did not err in determining that it had subject matter jurisdiction under its version of the UCCJEA?
It is, and the statutes reflect one another, so I tried to just stick with Minnesota knowing that that's what I was most comfortable with and assuming that's what this court would be most comfortable with. But yes, the Iowa court exercised properly its emergency subject matter jurisdiction, and it maintained that throughout the duration of that case, as that court found. I think the district court here in Minnesota also recognized that the Iowa court properly exercised its emergency jurisdiction. And on that first day of those mid-October hearings, the district court said, we have a case where Iowa is exercising emergency jurisdiction. The district court recognized that. And our position is that at that point, the district court should have stayed proceedings until that Iowa issue could have been resolved.
And that's a nice lead up to my next question is, what authority do you rely on that Minnesota at that point should have stayed its proceedings?
Your Honor, I have to admit, I believe this might be a matter of first impression in this court. I couldn't find a specific case or citation statute that said exactly that. But I think in operation of subject matter jurisdiction, you either have it or you don't. And where Iowa has subject matter jurisdiction, Minnesota does not. So therefore, the proper course would have been stay the actions here so that that emergency can be addressed, and that jurisdiction then returns to Minnesota.
Well, the Iowa District Court relied on 598B.204 and said that, I believe it was actually subdivision 3, that the steps that it needed to take to exercise subject matter jurisdiction. So it sounds like your argument is that under the Minnesota version of it, 518D.206, talks about simultaneous proceedings and about Minnesota needing to stay a proceeding if there is another one. So is your argument that you cannot have two simultaneous proceedings going on at the same time?
It is, Your Honor. And that is why the UCCJEA contemplates the courts communicating with one another to roadmap these things so that the parties have clarity on who's going to make decisions regarding their families. That's why that's there. It's why it's contemplated that these courts are going to communicate and figure these things out.
Let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that we did agree with you that the Minnesota District Court did not have subject matter jurisdiction during that time period from August till December. I think that's when it was filed. I'm sorry, September to December.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with the other issues that you have raised? Do we still need to address those issues or not?
No, at that point, those issues would be moot because I think if subject matter jurisdiction did not exist here in Minnesota, that is a critical component of finding contempt. The Hopp case is clear and in all of its prodigy require that the district court needs to find that proper contempt was here in Minnesota. If there is no contempt, then the purge conditions and everything else from that order are all, everything that comes from it, sort of a fruit of the poisonous tree argument, it's all invalid after that point.
Mr. Reinke, what about, I'm looking at Minnesota statute 0.206, and it begins in paragraph A, except as otherwise provided in 0.204, which concerns emergency jurisdiction. Then the general rule, the state, a court of this state may not exercise jurisdiction, .. doesn't that exception in the first clause, isn't that triggered here because of the emergency jurisdiction in Iowa?
So, Your Honor, because of the emergency jurisdiction, and I apologize if I'm misunderstanding the court's question.
But let me rephrase it just because, it seems like the general rule of 0.206A is that a court of this state may not exercise jurisdiction if a court of another state is exercising jurisdiction, but the dependent clause at the beginning of the sentence says, except as otherwise provided in 0.204, which is relates to the subject of emergency jurisdiction. So it seems to me that the emergency jurisdiction in Iowa is an exception to the general rule that Minnesota court can't exercise jurisdiction if another state has jurisdiction.
So the UCCJE works, Minnesota has continuing and exclusive, and if Iowa had that continuing and exclusive, Minnesota could not come in and enter an order. And as I interpret that, the clause that the court's referring to 204, the UCCJEA does allow for Minnesota to make an emergency order if another state has that continuing and exclusive jurisdiction. So that's what happened here. Minnesota, for all non-emergent matters, is the proper forum. Iowa came in on an emergent matter and essentially used that emergency to take jurisdiction from Minnesota.
Take all jurisdiction or just in a limited way take jurisdiction over that emergency matter?
In that moment, because of the nature of the order and how it suspended parenting time and transferred custody to mom, it took everything with it.
Can I back up a little bit and ask, are you relying on the general rule of 206A?
Yes, Your Honor.
That is the source of your authority for why the Minnesota District Court did not have jurisdiction.
That's correct. The UCJ, it requires the courts, as we were discussing with Judge Reyes earlier, to stay proceedings here until that communication can occur.
So the first paragraph continues by saying a court of the state may not exercise jurisdiction if at the time of the commencement of the proceeding, there's a proceeding in another state, basically. So if we look to the time in which the Minnesota case was commenced, there was no emergency matter pending in Iowa at that time, was there?
Back in 2012, no, there was nothing pending in Iowa.
Is that the proper point in time to look?
So this case, the long procedural history in this case is that this case was filed prior to the child's birth in Minnesota. The parties disputed what the child's home state would be, and this court determined that Minnesota was the proper jurisdiction to determine things relating to this child. And Minnesota has retained that jurisdiction for all non-emergent matters since that time. But because of this emergency regarding the sexual assault allegations, Iowa took that jurisdiction temporarily until such time as the emergency could be addressed and figured out here in Minnesota. I hope that answers the court's question.
If Iowa did not have any jurisdiction at all in 2012, then does that statute even apply? The general rule that would divest a Minnesota District Court of jurisdiction.
So any state in the U.S. can have that emergency jurisdiction. And that's, we have to keep focusing that this was an emergency order. It's not an order issued in just sort of the due course of filing a new custody action or a motion to modify. This was an emergency action that only took temporary jurisdiction from Minnesota. It wasn't taking away that home state or that continuing exclusive jurisdiction.
Counsel, I'm thinking a little bit out loud here, but the Minnesota court, district court, acknowledged that, quote, temporary emergency jurisdiction regarding custody of the child has subsequently been invoked in Iowa, but then noted it's of limited duration, does not extinguish the continuing jurisdiction of the presiding court, which is correct. But looking at 518D.206, subdivision A, it talks about a proceeding concerning the custody of the child. It says a court of the state may not exercise its jurisdiction under while a custody proceeding is ongoing in a different state, that a court of the state may not exercise its jurisdiction over section 518D.201 to 210. But then I'm also looking at subdivision B, and that also has similar language, but there it says, if a court determines that a child custody proceeding, Minnesota court, has been commenced in a court in another state having jurisdiction substantially in accordance with this chapter, this court of the state shall stay its proceeding. So is it A that controls here or B? And I'm just asking that question generally. You rely on A, but I just want to make sure I'm clear as to which one actually does apply in this case.
Your Honor, we are asking that, and I apologize. My brain works by seeing things, and I can't pull that statute up in front of me. But we are relying on the requirement that the court stay the proceedings pending the ultimate resolution of this case. Seeing that my time is running short, I just want to talk a little bit about the propriety of the purge conditions before I leave this court. The court ordered a number of things, some of which we agree, if contempt is proper, if we get past the other issues raised in our appeal and we get to the purge conditions. Some of these things, compliance with the parenting consultant, we agree those are proper purge conditions. But I'm aware of no authority that allows a district court to order a parent to dismiss an order for protection or temporary protective order proceeding outside of its jurisdiction and make some sort of a finding on the merits of that case, especially when 3 days after this opinion came out, that court ruled that it was a valid proceeding, that it was something that was not brought with any type of malice or anything like that. We also have the issue of approximately $140,000, which there is no evidence to support Ms. Orlich had the ability to pay. There's nothing in the record to show that she had those funds available. The Supreme Court order last week shows that it was clearly erroneous for the court to make that finding. So we ask that the court find that those things were purely punitive, the district court acted without jurisdiction, and that this order be, or these orders, all be reversed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. The matter is submitted. We will issue our opinion within the statutory period. Thank you for your oral argument today. Without opposition, very helpful to us. And this being the last case on our oral calendar for this morning, the court is in recess.
All rise.